I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I am John Lobster.
And this week we are talking about the new movie, Logan. I am super happy with the take on this. What did you guys think right off the bat?
I think we got the best X-Men-related movie they could ever make. It's like they just threw the formula out the door and went with a fresh take about a guy going on a road trip and going to some event of his life through it and finally getting to a resolution. It's really unforgiving as a style.
And so I'll say something that might be controversial. And it might sound like I'm splitting hairs, but I think we've had a lot of superhero comic book movies. We've had a lot of movies. Yes. This, to me, feels like one of the first films that takes these characters, these are comic book characters, and makes a film with them. Not a movie, not a popcorn-munching blockbuster, a legitimate film. Real cinema. And I think it takes a lot of what worked in the X-Men films, the character moments. It took a lot of the mechanics of how Wolverine's powers work, how Xavier's powers work in the movie universe. And it plays with those, turns them on their heads a little bit, but it's making a film.
Yeah, and I like the way that they use what they had to do, and they use concept that they had to use, but they didn't overexplain it. I mean, they don't overexplain the fact that right now Wolverine does not heal that well anymore, and his body's rejecting the metal that's inside and all that stuff.
Well, they do. But you just have to wait for it and listen. Most people want everything spoon-fed to them. They tell you that it's just a slow burn.
Exactly.
They tell you why there aren't any more mutants. They allude to what happened to the X-Men. They show you how Wolverine, even though he has a healing factor and he's theoretically immortal, why he will eventually die and why he is aging, right? They explain how X-23 happened and
his
exists
claws,
in the world.
Not coming out all the way, like they're breaking down.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That broke my heart when he asked to take the claw and basically take it out.
Pull it back out. Yeah. And then he wraps his hand in gauze. Just those 4 seconds of the shot, him grabbing his claw, pulling it out, and then having to bandage up his hand. That's just so telling right there because, you know, Wolverine is indestructible, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just the opener of this movie, and I'm not talking about the Deadpool thing. Well, talk about that later.
No, you mean he's sleeping in his car and then he protects his car from bullet holes with his body.
It's his job, you know.
Yeah. The idea of Wolverine caring about a material possession.
Seeing him having to work in the little 30-second snippets you got of, you know, the chicks and the bridesmaids and the businessmen and everything in the back of the vehicle, it really humanized him.
Yeah, all of a sudden. And people that recognize him and try to call him, like, the Wolverine and something like that, and he rejected it at this point.
Seeing an actual berserker from him in the first 2 minutes or 3 minutes was sweet. Is that his name, too? Has that always been his name? James
Owlet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they use all of his names in the movie.
James Howlett, they brought up in X-Men Origins, but then he gets shot in the head and forgets that he's James Howlett.
Okay.
And they also, I also have to give them credit for bringing back the idea of the adamantium bullet.
Yeah, but they played it very differently because, okay, I'm going to jump to the end very fast.
I'll tell you what. Did you look closely at the bullet?
It was a hollow point.
It's a hollow point. Yeah. It's a hollow point.
It's a hollow point to actually blow out the backside.
Yeah. So that's why the effect is different. I thought about that because in the original, or well, not the original, but in X-Men Origins, it's a jacketed round. And
he takes it to the head and it just makes him forget.
It makes a, makes a little hole. This is a hollow point, which is designed to explode out.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Just saying.
You guys know guns more than I do. For me, it was a bullet. So, okay. I'm going to be.
It was a bullet.
Yeah. I mean, the big difference for me is when you see these giant shell where I'm like, oh, okay. Probably you cut someone in two with this. But besides that, it's bullets. So, okay. But it's something that they refer back to that movie because let's be honest, if this is the best X-Men movie we've ever got, the first one, X-Men Origin, is the worst we've ever got.
Yeah, it's a tough road that the Wolverine films have gone on because you have arguably the worst X-Men related film in X-Men Origins Wolverine. You have what's honestly a decent enough film in The Wolverine.
Yeah,
which
middle of the road.
I was turned off to. Because of the first one was so bad, but still the first one wasn't that horrible. It just was rushed out because they leaked that copy, and it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't good. It wasn't good by any stretch of the imagination.
Everyone saw the leak and was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
they didn't hate the leak because the effects weren't finished. They hated it because the story was bad.
Rewatch it. It's horrible.
It's a bad movie. It's a bad movie. It's just bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the. For what it's worth, the X-Men films have kind of. First Class was good. Days of Future Past was very good. Apocalypse was. Yeah, it was there. It was a, you know.
So you like Days of Future Past better than First Class?
Yeah, I think so. Just because of how it connected everything. I thought that was like Days of Future Past is fun. First Class is fun, but kind of stands on its own. And I thought that Days of Future Past was fun in that it kind of connected everything together.
I'll be honest, for me, First Class as that little, you know, it's another director that didn't screw it up. So it was fun. And as a James Bond fan, they really, really played with my 1960s James Bond.
Right.
So it was it's one of my favorite, if not.
But let's be clear, though. So the X-Men franchise, the X-Men film franchise, has a habit of getting the third film wrong.
Oh, yeah. And they even see it in Apocalypse. So.
Last Stand, Apocalypse, Logan kind of breaks the cycle. Logan, I want to say, is the franchise in reverse.
Yep.
It starts with the worst movie and then ends with the best.
Usually the best one is the middle one.
Though. That's true.
Yeah. X-Men 2, and even if I prefer First Class, I would say the best movie is probably Days of Future Past, if you're just talking about construction and everything. Yeah.
So this one, I was very cautious in my expectations, but I have to kind of think that James Mangold set out to make a very particular movie. And he had Hugh Jackman on board arguing that this is the movie that they need to make. They don't need to make the next big Save the World movie. They wanted to make a very intimate, personal story that is about the end of Wolverine.
Yeah, and they had the bargaining chip at this point that Hugh Jackman told them, I make my Wolverine or I'm not coming back and that's it. So they were like, yeah, okay, do whatever you want for, what, $58 million? That's some stupid amount of money for what they're going to make with this.
Yeah, so they spent this movie was $97 million. It was under $100
million
to make a comic book blockbuster. And to date, it has made over $500 million worldwide.
Nice.
Good investment.
That's not a bad return on investment.
It's going to be funny to see after its run where it scales through the other X-Men movies, because right now the most profitable X-Men movie of all time is Deadpool.
Right. So. But I think if you looked at percentage of budget versus return, this has to be the best value.
Deadpool costs $65 million.
Oh, did it? It costs less than this?
Yeah, it costs nothing. They gave them 58 and they had to put another 7 at the end to finish the movie, and they were pissed. You know?
Wow.
The story of this movie makes no sense, and now Deadpool is the new center of the Marvel X-Men universe instead of Wolverine, you know? I mean, he was the bad guy in the original Wolverine, where the character that they screwed up the most, and now he has a mini movie at the start of the Wolverine movie.
Right. It's the little Pixar short film.
Come on, that was good.
It was good. It was a lot of fun. It was good. It definitely was different in tone to Wolverine, or to Logan, though.
Yeah, and I think that was a good thing. It was at the beginning and nothing.
Not at the post credits. Yeah,
we would just have been talking about that. even if the movie was that good. We talked a little bit about X-23. I knew she would be like crazy and little murder girl and all that stuff, but what do you think of it, of her intro when, you know, after 5 minutes she comes out of a building with holding a head?
I think you needed to have her be that brutal.
Yeah,
Wolverine's kid, basically. It's a diluted him. It's all parts him. There is no diluted 50% mother in the mix. It's just a little version of him.
It's a mini me.
Well, actually, there's a 50% mother. The completely version of him is X-24, the character that actually kills Xavier later.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a 100% clone. X-23 is actually as a mother, so it's like it's like a real kid, basically.
Oh, I thought she was just cloned as well.
No, they all add mothers. Like, I think they tell that in the story when we flash back to the hospital and all that, that these ones were kids, and when they moved to the next one, it had like no conscience or anything.
Yeah, because they didn't want to raise someone with no conscience. They wanted to breed in the rage.
Yeah.
I think that was the line. Okay, so now all the people on the mercenary team, what did he mean by they've all been enhanced? They're missing arms and hands.
Yeah.
Were they actually enhanced, or was it because
No, they just have extremities.
Yeah.
Cybernetic extremities.
It wasn't because X-23 accidentally cut them off, and because the little girl with ice for breath sneezed one day?
Maybe.
That's all I can think of. That's how they all lost their
pieces.
Basically, they're just ripping off characters from the old old Logan? No, not old Logan. Anyway, from the comic book. Old Man Logan. Thank you. So, and these characters were like illbillies that were enhanced and all that jazz. So they just like took that, and like you said, the only thing I could see is like they all had problem with X-23 or whatever clones they made. So
they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. We got a good health plan. We'll make you a new arm or a new leg.
When they're trying to actually get her right there, and he just yells, "Stop shooting! She heals!" And then goes to the back of the truck and grabs a fucking harpoon gun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brutal.
Yep. That's brutal.
I like when he's just like, no.
Right. Logan, as I told you, Logan, she's a mutant. Like you. Very much like you. Like, and I'm like, Xavier, you sneaky old fuck.
Yeah.
He knew. Well, by this point, he's so crazy because, I mean, don't ask me what kind of dementia he has, but at some point he's talking to himself. So what the hell he's saying? Is it true or not?
But is he talking to himself, or is he talking to Laura or another mutant?
I mean, he's a telepath.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, the idea of the world's most powerful mind having a degenerative disease. Yeah,
they classify his brain as a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah.
What about how she... go ahead.
You go ahead.
She protects his body, protects Xavier's body with her body from the bullets. instantly just like, oh, this is what I have to do. And then her biting and sucking the bullets out was like, damn, she is an evil little chick.
That was awesome.
She knows how to survive. It's like Wolverine. It's inside her. She doesn't have to think about it. It's just instinct. Yeah. Okay. Maybe trying to outrun a train with a limousine is not a good instinct.
If I'm around in 2024 and Chrysler makes a limo like this just for, like, you know, Logan throwback, I will be buying one.
And it looks like it's like nuclear powered or something.
It's so cool.
Like it's very like it looks like a limo, and like you can tell that it's a limo, but then when you look at the front of it, it's not like an ordinary
Xavier role in the fedora.
Yeah.
He was such a pimp.
Yeah.
I want to see the scene though that they talk about, because they did film the West, quote unquote, Westchester incident.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they filmed it.
Pretty sure they did. I unless I read everything and I'm remembering it wrong, because for about a week or two after I read this, they said it was in the film, or as I was reading all the shit, the director said they had it in the film in the beginning, and every time he watched it, it just didn't feel right because it put so much weight on that. Just like
they filmed a scene talking about it.
Okay.
And that was at the dinner table with the family.
We're either talking about something different, because they had a Jean Grey scene too that they filmed or talking about. He was married once, and that was
But yeah, well, that's the scene. So there was a scene of dialogue in the dinner table scene where they explain kind of what happened and also what, like, Logan killed. Like, Logan loved someone, but then he killed her and all that.
Right, and they wanted to let you have your breath and not having it
be... Yeah, right. But that implies that the last stand where he kills Jean Grey is in continuity with this. So, kind of what... If you look at this as a pocket universe, I don't want to go too technical here, but in Days of Future Past, that kind of reset everything.
Yeah.
And at the end, he went back to the school, and Jean and Cyclops and Xavier and Beast were all there. I think that this is the end of the universe from The Last Stand. So if you kind of took that to its logical conclusion, where there was the mutants were kind of wiped out. Remember, there was this cure for mutants that came out. There was, like, Magneto was depowered and everything. And then Dark Phoenix was killed by Wolverine. But no, because Xavier died in that.
So. Yeah, no, but he came back at the very end in a different person's body. Oh, you're right. Yeah, I wrote the scene. I wrote it. And at one point in time, it was even the first scene in the movie. But they took it out because it had so much weight on it. The other scene we're talking about is them reminiscing about the one woman or his wife who, would have been Jean Grey.
But you see, by not having this in the movie, but that's it. By not having this in the movie and just having like some mystery, we have words. We know there's a Westminster incident and all Westchester incident and all that stuff.
They said many of the old team of the X-Men were killed and over 600 civilians were injured.
Oh my God! So
and the idea is that Xavier caused it,
right?
So if you think that Days of Future Past resets everything and the end of Days of Future Past is 2004, 2005, around? Sure. Because that would be the end of Last Stand, so around that time? This is 20 years later. I can see them putting crap in cereal, making the end of New Mutants, and then Xavier killing most of them.
Yeah, because it's 2000. You said, none were born since, you said 25 years, and this is supposed to be 2009, or 29, so that could follow.
Yeah.
When they went into the Transigen study, the paperwork he was flipping through, who's Christopher Bradley and who's Dominic Petrovas? I couldn't get it all, but one of the first names for source material, they had James Howlett, you know, Wolverine. And the other two, I don't know if you guys knew the names, Dominic Pet something and Christopher Bradley, or were those just random names?
One of them was the character from X-Men Origins Wolverine, who had the electricity powers, played by Charlie from Lost. that was one of the characters.
Okay.
You mean the Hobbit guy?
Yeah, the Hobbit guy, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. One of them was that. And the other one, I think, is, oh God, is a reference to Colossus' sister, but I'm not sure. Petrovas, you say?
It was Dominic, P-E-T. It could have been A-V-O-S or A-O-S. I don't know. I couldn't pause it very long in the theater wing.
Yeah, what the hell? Come on, Beef.
When Xavier was having his psychic seizure in the casino and Wolverine was using his claws basically to pull himself through the hallway.
Uh-huh.
And then him and Laura working together to just slaughter all those dudes.
While they were frozen.
Yeah.
The face of the guy that sees it coming.
Oh, he can't move when he looks out of his eye. Oh, and it was so brutal. Just all the head shankings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so that good. Was...
The only thing that bothered me about that scene is that when they got stabbed in the brain, they didn't drop. Because the only thing... So, all right.
Oh, you're saying with the seizure or whatever.
Yeah, so pet peeve about how they portray this power of Xavier's. He doesn't have the power to freeze time. He has the power to freeze people telepathically. My thought is that once someone experiences brain death, they would just fall down because he can no longer freeze them in place with their mind if their mind stops working.
So if you take three large adamantium claws through your brain, you should probably be brain dead and hit the floor.
Right. Yep. You wouldn't stay vertical.
Okay. That makes sense. Because, there's but nothing again, that's, to be controlled.
Right. But again, that's just how they kind of did the shot. But
take the pills. I want to see it. Blah! He's like a child. It's so
great. At that point, you see what can happen. So you were like, we don't want more people to die. Just take your meds, man.
Can we just say that this film is remarkable in that you see Professor X go to the bathroom?
Oh, and like Logan throw him on the toilet. The interaction between the two of them, the first handful of times you hear Logan say, fuck, you get it. You understand. That's how Wolverine always should have been. But the first couple of times you hear Xavier say, fuck, it's like jarring and funny. And it's a crazy old man. Just it works. I don't know.
It really does. I agree. It gives gravitas to the character because you can't imagine him being that angry, you know?
When he's explaining to Logan about, well, of course, her feet claws are part of the sex difference. It's so great because Logan's like, oh, well, clearly or obviously.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's simple. Come on.
She can gut men with her feet. She can handle a few naughty words.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. You know what? Probably she can handle a lot, but.
How about she doesn't talk until 2/3 of the way through the movie,
And then it
just doesn't say anything.
And then it's Spanish, and Logan shits himself. You can talk. What the?
I don't speak Spanish.
And he's like, shut up.
Oh yeah, because she's like, Dominic, Rebecca.
The first thing he tells her after she starts talking is shut up, which is kind of fun. But anyway, one of my
go ahead.
So one of my favorite part is. When they go to, spoiler alert, if you are still there, Xavier dies at some point, and they put him on the ground. He starts singing a eulogy, moves away, and start destroying his truck with a shovel. I love that because you feel the pain, but how do Wolverine deals with pain? Violence. That's the only reflex he has.
Before that, though, let's get to how they got there. They're doing their "we got to get out of everywhere," and some automated trucks go nuts and horses break free. It was nice to see, even though it's just on horses, Xavier get to use his powers for a few seconds one last time to contain some horses, and then nice touching.
He can talk. Whoa, hold on.
Wait.
He can talk to horses.
He's a horse whisperer.
Yeah,
he was supposed to star in that movie.
He can control horses with his mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this something that's established?
Is this a stretch for you? Of all the crap that these guys can do and him talking to horses is a stretch?
Okay.
No, I'm not even talking to them, just calming them.
Xavier is the world's most powerful telepath, right? And he can read people's thoughts and control, you know, whatever. But people.
Yeah, you can talk to them.
You never, like, you never see him like a dog, like, comes by and he, like, says, haha, yeah, they do smell funny. Or, like.
Why not? He controls mind to the point of freezing everybody in the museum. Why not the dog?
I don't know. I don't know. Why?
I mean, Anakin hypnotized like a Reek and a Nexu in Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. So come on.
Wait a minute. That's a little bit different. I think I kind of see what Lobster's saying, though, because you
Spock Vulcan nerve pinches a horse in Star Trek. Five, I want to say.
But that's you know where a horse's nerve is. Like I'm walking with you and I'm understanding.
He does mind meld with a whale in Star Trek IV.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But that's a whale.
But whales are mammals and have developed, you could kind of make the argument that they have a similar
horses mammals?
Their minds are more similar to like a dolphin or more intelligent.
Well, I'm sure you can control a dolphin. I mean,
so okay, yeah. Back to Logan.
No. What the fuck with the horses? It's weird.
He had carrots in his pocket, and that's what he told the horses, and they came over.
If you want the real answer to that, before we say goodbye to the character, he needs to use his power for one last good thing.
Be careful.
Before all that family's gonna get killed because of him, but. We're going to forget about that very, very fast.
Be careful. He ran a school for many years, a school for special needs. I wish I could say you're a good pupil, but the words would choke me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's that scene where they almost get hit by the trucks.
Okay.
The implication is that the trucks are trying to hit the family because the trucks are run by the company that is trying to buy their farm. Yep. To buy their land. And so that was like an assassination attempt. The trucks, Wolverine and Professor X and X-23 just happened to be there when it happened.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Yep.
When I first saw it, I thought that like Wolverine spaced out at the wheel and like caused the accident, but it was actually like they were just there when it happened.
Now, did we have that whole scene so that we could get just another group of angry douchebags with shotguns so that Wolverine could turn them away and that those angry douchebags could come back and help fuck up X-24? I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
No, I think we add that whole scene to humanize them one last time before we're going to lose the one of the most important relationship in the whole saga. So having that downtime moment...
I mean, we had them there just so they could die violently and horribly.
Yeah, but
evil
but
Wolverine.
But give one last moment of normality to all these characters before they die, because after that day, nothing is going to be normal again.
I love how I got to find it in my notes. But when Wolverine comes back to the house and he sees X-24 carrying Laura, X-23 down the stairs, he like pauses and stares at him in disbelief.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't know what to do, go after him or run upstairs. And he finally runs upstairs and he's freaking out and telling Charles to put pressure here. And all he keeps saying is, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Please, Charles, it wasn't me. Or something like that. He says, it wasn't me like two or three times. And that's just, I don't know, that's poetic, you know?
Yeah.
A senile old man might just think that that's who just shanked him.
Well, that would be a 1 + 1 = 2 very easy to do. I just had 3 claws through my chest.
Right, exactly. Well, and the guy looks a hell of a lot like, probably smells a lot like, because he's his exact clone. Like,
yeah. Well, the air was different. That's the only thing, that he had like a buzz cut instead of having the.
He didn't grow the horns.
Yeah, he didn't grow the horse.
Oh, that poetic part right there of him, Xavier opening up and talking about he finally remembers what he did.
He makes this confession to, and that's a really good scene because you get his confession, but then he's not confessing to who he thinks he is, and then he dies.
Yeah,
sad.
It is sad. Then we have truck destruction scene that I love, so it's not too bad.
And beware the light.
Yeah. The nades, the albino with the nades. It hurt to see X-24 messing Logan up.
Yeah.
The farmer would have blown a hole right through Logan's head, too, but he was out of bullets.
Out of shells.
Yeah, the only thing I have to... My only big criticism about the script of this movie is that they're going to introduce the green juice.
The ooze. That, Ninja Turtles, baby.
Yeah. You're the monster serum.
They didn't need that at all. You could remove that concept and just having the other Wolverine regenerate the first... X-24 regenerate the first time, and at the end, Wolverine giving everything he still has for one last shot without having that green magic ooze, and the movie would work.
Yeah, that kind of... I don't know. It irritated me a bit, too. Does it help... Okay, that was my question. Does it help them heal, or does it enhance their powers? If you gave it to the little kid with telekinesis or ice, etc., would Xavier's power be better, or would he have healed if we gave some to him?
Maybe.
The web,
they never really establish it.
The web, see it, it's a booster, so it's going to boost you a little bit. But then
gave it to us when we would fight to help us heal, and all their powers weren't healing.
Yeah, and after that, he says, don't take it all at once. And that was the big thing, that the drawback
little 5-hour energy, don't drink the whole thing at once.
I thought you drink like 3 at once with those.
That's not healthy, dude.
If you drink 5 at once...
it's a 25-hour energy, bro.
Then you die.
then a lot of Coke, Coca-Cola, it feels like Coke. Cocaine.
And you know what? And at the end of that, kids, this is not an endorsement. This is just a possibly real statement. It's probably better for you to do some drugs than to drink 5-hour energies and a 6-pack of Coca-Cola.
It's killing your heart.
You need something to bring you down.
Yeah, right. Cocaine would probably do it. Okay, how about when Laura looks in the back seat and sees the dead body of Xavier and just loses her shit?
Yeah. Heartbreaking, man.
I think they did it a service by having her not talk till the end, right? I don't know how well a young actor or actress or whatever could have played being a badass.
Well, actually, she's playing the character pretty well. If you've read some, X-Force, and she had her X-23 at some point comic, she's not a character that talks a lot.
No.
She's a character that acts a lot. She's not a great leader, usually, puts her in a weird position at the end, but she's a good fighter, so that's what they gave her.
And she's from Runaways, right?
Yeah, I think so. I want to say yes, but hey, that's all the start of the 2000s. That's starting to be a long time ago, you know?
it was nice to see there are still some mutant supporters out there. Logan wakes up in what appears to be a dentist's office or a vet's office.
Yeah.
Oh, I always hoped I'd meet one of your kind.
Meet one of you.
Or one of you, yeah.
Got something inside you that's killing you.
Thank you, de nada. What the fuck?
Jonah, I know what's killing me.
Victor, Rebecca, Gideon, Delilah.
Did you learn that for real?
She's like Arya Stark with her list.
Right, yeah, exactly. Except these are people she doesn't want to kill.
Yeah.
It's people she needs to remember.
Yeah.
The other thing is that they drive from Mexico or the border of Mexico anyway to quote unquote the border of Canada.
Yes.
And it all looks like Texas.
Yes.
Or Australia.
Hey, this is 8 years in the 12 years in the future. You don't know what's happened.
Global warming's happened. Right. And you don't know where the border of Canada is. It might be a lot further south now.
The border of Canada is in like Oklahoma or in New Mexico.
Justin Trudeau won the war against Trump.
Right. And it's right in New Mexico. It's only Texas wide. That's the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just drove the Texas. Yeah. That would make sense. Because seriously, there's like a 5-day drive. And I know he's passed out for a long time, but. Dane.
All the kids trimming his beard with the mini scissors. That was a laugh for everybody.
Giving
him
the classic mutton chops.
Right.
Okay, I wasn't sure about the inclusion of the X-Men comic in the X-Men movie. Mm-hmm. The way they've done it, perfect.
Oh, it was perfect. He's like, you know, this all happened once, and now, you know, a fifth of it's real and the rest of it's shit.
Yeah.
And in a way, we finally got the yellow suit.
You did. You saw it. One of the kids had a Wolverine action figure with the yellow costume
at his grave. I wish they would have set it there. Yeah. Oh, and since we're there, I'm sure I won't forget, but
okay.
X-23 grabbing the cross and giving it the 90-degree turn or whatever.
To make an X.
Whatever, to make the 45-degree turn. That was perfect.
Beautiful. I cried. I wept.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not ashamed to admit that there were tears in my eyes. It was dusty in there for sure.
Someone I'll next honest, to me farted.
Oh, nice.
All of a sudden, in my theater, a lot of grown men were.
And then when the claw came up, the hand, the rock started to shake. And in the after credit sequence.
No, dude, wrong movie.
When the claw came up.
Stupid. Out of the grave.
I was like, yes, finally. No, just kidding. I'm so glad they didn't do that.
Yeah,
I'm so glad there was no Inception.
Make you guess at it.
Yeah, X-Men The Last Stand. Like, did the chess piece move? No, like, little thing at the end. Or the voice in someone else's body. Like, I'm glad that they just let him be dead.
Well, you haven't seen, like, the end credit where you have the guy from Mission Impossible 2 coming back as Logan?
Shut up. Please stop it. How about seeing both of them work together after Logan takes all the magical green goo, seeing both of them just slaughter that platoon of dudes in the woods?
Awesome. Okay. Some you good father-daughter bonding.
Her crawling over his back. Problem? And what? That was too gory?
No, that was perfect. Good, okay. I have a problem of the sense, like, can they talk to, he talks to horses. You know, at the end, when Wolverine gets that big, like, piece of wood through him?
Yes.
Isn't his, like, torso, his bones all laced with adamantium? So,
His ribs. It went in between his ribs, bro.
Yeah. How
It went under through his, like, spleen. It was not through his, like, chest rib cage. It was through his lower torso. There were no bones there.
Yeah, he got unlucky as hell. Let's be honest.
How about seeing Wolverine pull out a gun, though, shoot the scientist in the head and blow off that dude's hand with a gun? Perfect. I mean, come on.
He's that like, I don't perfect. Like guns.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to take this with me.
That was perfect because you don't see it coming at all. Or is it me when he takes the green goo, he gets younger?
Yes.
For a little while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Laura, right around that same time, when Wolverine is down or something, she's how badly she is messing up X-24. Yeah. I could watch that like 30 seconds right there on loop.
But every fight scene she has, she's perfect. That little murder girl is great.
She's good.
I mean, is she better than the girl from
Hit Girl?
Yes.
No, I like Hit Girl better.
I Hit Girl's a better character, but I think Laura, X-23, whatever, works better in this movie. Hit Girl's like a better, well-rounded character because you like her being a smartass and shit like that. I think this is the perfect little berserker clone.
I don't know.
Just
I might
her, like scowl.
Better.
Her scowl all the time, and that's all you get for 2/3 of the movie is the anger. When she's sitting there eating her fucking cereal nonchalantly, just waiting to murder a 3 dudes and carry one's head out of the building.
She's better than he is.
Yep.
I think she has a little bit more a little bit more of the patience that Wolverine doesn't have. Like, she's like, nah, I'll wait.
Right.
I'll let you come to me.
Oh, God. We haven't talked about Caliban at all. But
I love Caliban. I love Stephen Merchant as an actor. And he's not quite like Caliban in the comics, but he's still cool.
Yeah, who is... Explain. What is... So this guy is basically, like he said, I'm a glorified truffle pig, so he can just hunt out other mutants? Is that what
he senses them? Mutants.
Senses
he was
them.
In,
cause he was, he like,
was
sniffing.
In X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, they used a version of his character in X-Men Apocalypse.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Caliban. Caliban knows everything.
Yes. What you want, Caliban can get.
Okay.
If you have wares, Caliban has coin.
They asked the director if he knew that they were using it in Apocalypse. He was like, no, when I saw the movie, I had to call Fox and thought, you know, we have that character in our movie, too.
So what? So, I don't understand, like, is he a mutant? That is that what he does, that he, you know, sniffs out bloodhounds, senses other mutants?
Yeah, that's his power.
Yeah.
Okay.
His power is finding other mutants.
What was he in Apocalypse? He didn't really find other mutants.
He found other mutants. No, he ran kind of an underground mutant. It's
like a mutant chop shop, not literally, but...
Squad, yeah. He had Psylocke working for him and all that.
Okay.
That movie was not really good.
Yeah. No, it was not really good. But I liked the kid mutants in this one at the end, where they all use their powers to kill Cyborg Arm Guy. And they're like all going nuts.
Creepy.
Yeah. They're all going nuts on him, and they're like all using their powers just to like melt him.
When that chick made all the pine needles, the little girl made all the pine needles fall from the trees and stuff, and that was cool.
Creepy.
Well, you go against a bunch of these little kids, it's good luck. I mean,
I enjoyed that.
I like the cell phone videos too, from inside the place. You know,
the very carefully added cell phone videos with voiceovers and
right, exactly. All that. Well, you know, come on, we got to get backstory. It's a clever way to do an info dump nowadays.
Yeah, that was actually not bad. But
okay,
you have to say that scene when they go, and just remind me when they go to the truck stop
to get
and
the charger,
jumping around. Yeah, it was funny in the trailer. It was even better in the movie.
Yeah, well, when she's about to shank the cowboy
the
thing.
Clerks.
Well, not the clerk even. Before the little horse thing. She's like going to stab it.
Yep. When she went all 11 from Stranger Things.
Right. And just grabbed everything and started grubbing. okay, they're my big peeve. Well, it's a big pet peeve, but it isn't. It's the biggest pet peeve I have for the movie. They went and they got the charger, and then all of a sudden it cuts from daytime to nighttime, and finally the phone goes, and he starts watching the movie. You can plug it in, turn it on, and push play while it's charging.
Nope.
That was my only, my thing.
He doesn't know how cell phones work.
He's
an old man. He's an old man, Logan. He doesn't know how these newfangled technologies work. He just wants a boat. Get the man a boat. He wants a Sunseeker.
He wants his boat,
Do they do that? Does he want to go out there so if and when Xavier has...
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, so no one's around.
Whenever Xavier has the attack that's going to kill him, then they're away from people.
Okay.
So he can just have it.
Right.
He can just have it.
He can let him have his freaking...
Yeah, and
he can let him stay off the drugs.
Then Wolverine has the adamantium bullet, so when that happens and the pain's too much for Wolverine... Bang.
You know, I'd be willing to put money on adamantium. Wolverine wouldn't need that bullet. Say this movie never happened, they got the bolt and they went to live their life out there, and Wolverine wasn't giving them his drugs, so the shit would be even more intense when it happened. I'll bet you when Xavier dies, Wolverine would die too.
All I'm going to say is they've now established that Xavier's powers affect animals. So are all the fish and the dolphins and the whales... And the sharks and the squids, are they all going to die out in the ocean?
It depends on the wavelength that he is. You know, it's like the Flash. If you don't vibrate at the right
Is he Aquaman? Is he Aquaman now?
Wait, yeah. I think that's a different comic book universe, bro.
Damn it. Shit. We'll talk about that in news, probably.
Dressing like a bat. I dig it.
I don't know what else I can say about this other than...
Yeah. I liked Boyd Holbrook's character.
Who?
Pierce. I liked his character. I thought he had swagger.
The hunter guy.
I liked when the Reaver. They're all Reavers. So the Reavers are characters from the comics that were, I think, kind of prominent in the 80s. And there's one issue where the Reavers go in and like abduct a bunch of the X-Men, and they end up crucifying Wolverine on a cross that's shaped like an X. Do you know what I'm talking about, Nightwing?
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. I was mixing up with other characters from
there's like a classic.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. There's a classic issue where Wolverine is literally crucified on a giant X, and that's why that X at the end, I was like, but anyway. So I thought he was really cool. I did not like the inclusion of the Wolverine clone.
As I live I thought, the Wolverine.
The Wolverine. I did not care for that as much. I thought that it was, I mean, what did they do? Like, they had these different body parts growing together and they just stitched them together and gave him the green goo and all of a sudden he's Wolverine. Mm. And I thought adamantium was kind of like a rare quantity, so they had enough to give him an entire skeleton of adamantium.
And the little girl?
I don't think she has, she must just have claws, because how can she grow if she has adamantium bones or adamantium lace bones? She wouldn't be able to grow. I think in the comics, X-23 just has the claws. She doesn't have the bones.
Plus his healing factor.
Right. Okay. So she's got that.
But you know, you're saying that, yeah, it's a rare metal and all that crap. Yeah, it is a rare metal. The same way rare metal makes Captain America's shield, because they only have enough to make that shield until they have enough to make a bunch of robots and Black Panther suit.
Wakanda doesn't want to share their vibranium.
There you go. So I think it's kind of the same thing here.
The inclusion of X-23 I thought was lame. I thought it would have been awesome, really, really cool, if they brought in Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth. And they're like, yeah, we found his body and we like souped him up. So here's Sabretooth.
Wait a minute. You're saying X-24.
Yeah, X-24.
Okay, you said 23 right there.
Sorry. I got my numerals crossed.
You know, I would have liked that. I liked him as playing Sabretooth. That'd be a cool throwback. But he didn't heal, so he wouldn't have been able to live this long, right?
Well, maybe they gave him the green goo, and that kind of like keeps him going. And then maybe they do give him claws or something. He's like, haha, I finally got my own. And he's got like four claws.
You know what? All that. No, actually, I was happy that it was X-24 character that I knew that didn't need to have any backstory, because he's a stupid clone. Instead of bringing Liev Schreiber, which
another half hour of story.
Sure. Another half hour story. And it's a character that, well, first of all, was only in the Wolverine movie that I want to forget. And second of all, if you have to bring one back, bring me the guy who did it in the original X-Men.
Scream for me.
Yeah, at that
Tyler
point.
Tyler Mane, you want Tyler that guy? Mane.
Yeah, I want that. Good I want guy. That guy, and I want him to be stupid and not talk.
Yeah.
So at that point,
you want him to be X-23 and not have any lines.
24.
No. He didn't really have any lines either. He just didn't. Went rawr.
Yeah, that's it. So that's why I love the inclusion of that character. Not the fact that it's Hugh Jackman again and all that. Just the fact that they don't explain it too much. They don't need to explain the character whatsoever. He's a killing machine, which is a clone of the other. Okay, go. Of course, it's old man versus young man, and it's wisdom versus stupidity. So, you know, teams and crap. And yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Fine.
But you cannot like it too.
I don't know. I'm not 100%. I was like, really? We're gonna do the clone thing? And the director explained it by saying he wanted to have Wolverine face the worst part of himself. Like the part of him that's pure rage machine.
And shit, yeah.
Berserker, yeah.
And also I don't know. Also kind of fighting himself at his prime. But
the last fight was very good. So.
It was very good. So, and once the adamantium bullet got put in a gun, I was like, okay, I know what's going to happen. But
yeah, that was kind of, you know, Chekhov's bullet.
Logan's bullet.
Yep. Mm. Yeah. Show a bullet in the first act, you need to shoot it in the third act.
Sure.
Anna, you got it too.
Found this in your pocket doing the laundry.
God, I hate that. I hate knowing these things now because of this cast. Yeah. You ruined me, Wing.
It's basic things.
Yeah,
come
but
on.
You ruined me. It's your fault.
You like it now when you catch it. You find yourself kind of a little bit brilliant.
Oh, great. I'm like, really smart. Now I fucking ruined the movie for myself. Thanks, Wing. I think that's what I think every time.
Wait until we make you watch the Power Ranger. And even if the movie is good, you can like ping pong everything from the first act to the third act. Like everything. Yeah. It's amazing.
So this was a Western, you guys. How cool was that? That we went and did... I mean, there was
totally
an extended
a Western samurai flick.
That was the second one. The second one was a samurai movie. This one was Shane, right?
That's yes. The oh, film God, we yes, see you're in, right.
In the hotel room. And
it
then
was
they end up
Shane.
Yeah, they end up doing this Western. And then that's the eulogy at the end that X-23 gives Laura.
Oh, my God. I didn't. Yeah, you're right. Oh, God. I need to watch Shane again now.
She does the speech that. Like, she has no context for it. Like, she doesn't really probably understand what it means. She just repeats it.
She saw the movie and
talks about the killing as a brand, and you can't shake it.
Yep.
Yeah,
I like it.
That's true.
Are you guys ready to rate it?
I think we are.
Okay, so for this cast, we have some movie specific.
Nice.
So, are you going legendary or uncanny?
Ah.
Legends of Its Time or Days of Future Past? Cult Legend or Yellow Spandex? Awesome or Berserker Rage? Entertaining or Fastball Special? Mabel or Cheap Cigar? Forgettable or Cyclops? Abysmal Last Stand? Or Spring Break Islander or X-Men Origin Wolverine Beef? Where do you stand on that list?
Shit. I don't know where it's going to end up. It could just become a cult legend, but everybody loves it. I got to go legendary. I didn't really read X-Men that much as a kid, and as I did, I really liked Gambit. So Wolverine wasn't really my thing, but you fall in love with him because he's a great character, and you see more and more of him through all these movies. But this is the perfect way to send off Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. It was a Wolverine. It was a Western. It was a samurai flick. And they did the character justice with pain, and they humanized him with everything he went through and just the way he took care of Xavier. So this is a movie I will actually go out and buy a copy of nowadays instead of just getting them digitally through Amazon or whatever. So, yeah, legendary or uncanny.
Yeah, I think I'm going to follow suit and I'm going to give it an uncanny. I think the last time we've seen a movie that took a comic book movie that took itself seriously in a human way. Christopher Nolan was giving us the first two of his Batman, and nobody went there again. As much as we like the Marvel method because, well, their movies are kind of fun, they're getting kind of repetitive, and they don't explore anything anymore. And now we have Fox 2 years in a row that comes with February, March movies that goes somewhere that we are not expecting, but we want. It's something we're not expecting a studio is going to give us, but that's what we really want. We finally, after 17 years, got the version of Wolverine we really wanted. As Beef was saying earlier, you hear Wolverine curse and you're like, oh my God, this is just right. This just works. So finally, I think the fact that a different studio is having some, I would not say issues, but is questioning their method with the X-Men franchise. It gives us a lot of new stuff and more exploration of the genre. And this is one of the top three best comic book movie of all time in my book now. Lobster?
Yeah, this was good. I'm not exactly sure. I think that we need to wait at least until the next award season to really see what the retrospective on this is going to be. It's still a little fresh. I think everyone saw it. I think everyone liked it. I think that it's definitely an awesome film. I think we're going to have to wait and see. Does it reach cult legends of its time? Is it, in fact, uncanny? I think that this is the first true attempt at taking an established cinematic universe and telling a story. A film, making a film in one corner of that universe and doing a very different method of filmmaking, doing a very different approach to telling that story. I think the problem with the later X-Men films is there's always too many mutants. Look at The Last Stand. Look at Apocalypse and Days of Future Past. They try to cram everyone in, and you don't really get to know anyone. You see Bishop for 2 seconds and Blink and Angel and Psylocke. And these are characters that you really like from the comics, but you don't get to know anything about them. They're just there and gone. And this one, you explore the characters, and that they're characters that you've come to know, like Wolverine and Professor X or Logan and Charles, but you really get to know those characters and you see their interactions and kind of say, like, well, what would a road trip with a nonagenarian Professor X and a dying Logan, what would that be like? And it's exactly what you would imagine. So I give this high praise for being a very artistic, enjoyable film that is perhaps better than the X universe deserves. I don't know.
Are you guys
pretty good? Pretty good.
Would you guys agree that at this point, the X-Men universe has not paid that much attention to their own continuity? I mean, still don't.
Oh God,
ask me,
no.
Yeah, don't ask me how Professor
Forget
X
it.
Came back. Yeah, I don't. And
it,
you
it's
know
fine.
What?
Like, watch Legion on TV. It's fantastic.
Oh God, it's fantastic.
It's really, really good, and it makes no sense in any kind of continuity, but it doesn't matter.
It's fantastic. But the fact that they're doing this gave us Deadpool, where we have another
right outside of continuity. Fourth wall breaking. Who's the professor now, Stewart or McAvoy? I can never keep track.
But even over that, I mean, Colossus was just like another character, and we never saw him as a human being. We always saw him as Colossus. And if you keep giving me that quality of movies, I don't care about your cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I finally saw Doctor Strange, and it's a beautiful movie. But at this point, I'm getting bored. They're always remaking the same movie. Yeah. So,
When I was a kid, I finally asked the question, "What the heck?" Because I'm watching The Simpsons, and they like did a Treehouse of Horrors where Homer wakes up with an extra head stitched on, maybe Ned Flanders' head or something to his body, and it blew my mind the next week when they didn't follow suit with that again. And I'm like, "But he's supposed to have another head on his shoulders." So, cinematic universe means nothing to me anymore.
Yeah.
I don't. Whatever, like you're
saying. I think that's a really good point. Like, you can do these character stories, and they can have ramifications, and you can be invested in the characters and what happens to the characters, and they can have real consequences. But at the same time, they're going to do another X-Men movie, and they're going to bring back some of these characters in some way, shape, or form, and it's all going to keep on ticking. It's just, this is how this story unfolds. It doesn't have to have an impact on the rest of it.
Right, exactly.
But it can still be meaningful.
They could put a number next to it, blah, 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 A. You know, it's a side shoot, whatever. You know that in this universe. I don't know. It doesn't all have to be based on that.
Yeah.
Give us
and
good
I
stories.
Like, yeah, exactly. And I like the fact that they just tell a good story. I mean, if DC at this point could take a page out of that and just be like, okay, we're going to make a good Superman Red Sun movie and whatever.
God.
We don't give a shit about the continuity. Instead of trying to keep everything in continuity, and I'm going to move slowly to, what time is it, Beef?
News time.
So I'm looking at the Justice League trailer.
What?
And
what did you think of that?
And I'm looking at the trailer and I'm like, okay, it doesn't even look that great. Aquaman's
it doesn't look
funny.
Horrible, but it doesn't. I don't fucking know. It doesn't. It's hard. Like we've talked about, it's hard to make a whole franchise, even with people you like, based off of one movie. As much as we say Marvel's become the same set of movies, they did it right with making us care about a couple people first and seeing if that worked, and then throwing the shit at the screen.
They made 13 movies before I passed that comment. That's something.
True. Yeah. Well, I think we mumbled it after
they were in
like
the double digits by
eight.
The time you were like, hey, this is kind of getting repetitive.
Yeah, but yeah, like Beef said, maybe after 7 or 8, but they did it well enough for a long time.
And we still kept paying before we really bothered by it.
Yeah,
it doesn't look
go.
Horrible. It doesn't look good, though. I'm more excited about the Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the problem with Justice League is it's another movie directed by Zack Snyder. And
it'll be pretty.
It looks like another movie directed by Zack Snyder. There's slow motion shots. Everything's at night. There's weird jokes. There's probably too much gravitas to certain things. And it has an overstuffed cast. Like everyone, you saw James Gordon and Lois Lane and Flash's father and Queen, you know, what's her face from Aquarium.
Mara.
Yeah, Queen Mara and Wonder Woman's people and Cyborg's dad and. Like, it's just going to be overstuffed, and it's all dark and at night. I don't know.
But you see, that's why I'm at...
If anyone rages on this, literally anyone, all of the internet's going to follow. This could be the best movie on the planet. It won't be, all right? This isn't going to be Guardians of the Galaxy. It's not going to surprise us all or stun us all. But as soon as one or two people throw any amount of hate at this, it's going to be the new sport to hate this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you've got people boycotting Rotten Tomatoes because petitioning against Rotten Tomatoes because they gave bad reviews to Batman v Superman and Suicide
Batman
Squad.
V Superman was a pretty shitty movie. I mean, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't.
It means that 27 critics out of 100 liked it. That's a lot for Batman v Superman. I'm sorry, but it is.
They want people to be shut down of their opinions, or people collecting house for critics. Exactly. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna be bad here because I think we're kind of careful to not do that here. But a lot of people are like, if it's not my opinion, I know better than you.
Yeah,
and I think that's.
I mean, I think a good example is we just spent an hour talking about how much we liked Logan, which had decent reviews, but it wasn't like. The most well-reviewed film of all time.
It got better as I watched it. The more I watched it, it got better.
We spoke honestly about that film, and we talked about other X-Men films that we liked and didn't like, and why. I think that there's this reactionary contingent that says anything with Batman in it must be amazing. Therefore, Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman have to be awesome.
Well, the problem is that we have Nolan making these movies before, and then now we have good director, but not one of the best director of his generation.
Nolan made one and a half good Batman movies.
And these weren't horrible. This stuff wasn't horrible. It's just you can't. I don't know.
I would say, Wing, I would say Batman Begins was good, and half of Dark Knight was good. There was of Dark Knight that didn't really need to be in the movie, and that movie could have been an hour shorter.
Oh,
and
my
then
God. We're going to have a fight.
Dark Knight Rises was...
Whatever. You know what? I might actually pay to have tickets. I might have pay and sell tickets. I'll promote this fight. We'll do this. We might do those first two again at some point in time. I want to hear you guys argue on that second one. Fine. That'll be fun.
My point being was even Nolan didn't make three great Batman movies. He made one and a half great Batman movies.
There's always going to be stuff to criticize. There's always going to be stuff to criticize.
Yeah. And I just think that we're now I am shutting off all knowledge of what people say about Justice League, because I honestly do want to see it and I want to judge it for itself, because I think it's the movie they should have made first. I don't think they should have done Batman v Superman. I don't really even think they should have made Man of Steel. I think they should have said, you know what? We're going to make the goddamn Justice League movie, and we're going to use that to see who spins off to their own thing.
Man of Steel, actually made me intrigued enough to go, oh, that's right. There's a DC universe I might care about. It wasn't great by any means, but...
Man of Steel for me is one of my masterpieces. I love it.
Masterpiece?
Idiots.
You're a
masterpiece?
I don't even know how I can start having a conversation if that's where you're coming from, because all right.
Yeah, I love that movie that much. Like, it's one of those that I watch on a regular basis and enjoy more every time.
They do need to make a Red Sun, though. They'll never do it. They'll never spin, like we were saying. They'll never just do a one-off, here's your quirky, what's the name, landed in Russia
yeah,
in
I don't
the
know.
40s.
Okay, don't say never, because look at what's happening at Sony right now.
They're
going to
do a Venom movie.
Yeah, and a Black Cat Silver Sable.
Well, don't forget that there was not that long ago that they were talking about making a standalone Aunt May movie.
Yeah.
What?
So my point, yeah, they were talking about an Aunt May as a spy.
Aunt May goes dating?
No, she was a spy.
Oh, okay.
It was, anyway.
Yeah, no, she wasn't, but whatever.
They think? No, she wasn't. They think. Come on, it's Aunt May. But the point is, like, let's say we have two Spider-Man universe that works. Let's say the Venom movie is brilliant, and for some reason we love the Black Cat, Silver Sable, and no, it's not connected to Homecoming.
No,
they
announced that. That's the thing. It's now Marvel Studios has the Spider-Man Homecoming, and that looks good. So Sony is going to take this and be like, we got some Spider-Man related things. Here, check out our Spider-Man adjacent movie.
But
we
wait.
Got Venom over here. You remember, you liked Venom. He was, what's his name from that 70s show?
DC's doing with the chicks, though. Aren't they trying to roll into
DC
like...
DC Sirens.
Yeah, Sirens.
Yeah, but
yeah,
okay,
with,
listen to
Harley
me. Let's say those two movies, for some weird reason, are good, okay? And they decide, okay, let's go, let's introduce Spider-Man. We're making a Miles Morales Spider-Man that is
Ultimate Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah, that is not in the Marvel
universe.
No, we're
going to do the clone. We're going to do Scarlet Spider. It's going to be great.
But seriously, let's say they do a Miles Morales, and for some reason it works, and you can have the Spider-Man Marvel universe and the Spider-Man Sony universe work. Why, at that point, DC wouldn't go like, okay, let's do Batman Beyond while we're doing our DCEU.
I'd kickstart Batman Beyond too. I think all the other shit is done for right now. Batman Beyond or Red Sun. Give me one of those before I start throwing money at shit we've seen and we've seen regurgitated 20 different times.
I think that Logan is also a really good argument for not doing the same origin story over and over and over again. Like,
we know what happened.
We know how. Like, we know that Batman's parents are dead. We get it. We know that Spider-Man was bit by a spider and his uncle got shot. We know that,
that
Superman
goes,
came from another planet. We get this.
I think you met my father. I think I killed him.
Yeah.
From Logan.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah, that was my DC rant. But, yeah, I was looking at the trailer, and like you said, it's going to look good, but this seems to have so much crap going on that at this point I'm just like,
I mean, the trailer looks fine.
Look at the Wonder Woman trailer. Besides that looks freaking amazing.
Yes, it's all gonna be what it is, and we'll just have to wait and see. And if we're not excited for that in November, we have Thor Ragnarok like a week later that will also probably be cool.
I didn't like the first two Thor, so at this point, Thor Ragnarok, I'm like, whatever.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm really like,
I liked the first one. I didn't really care much for the second one.
I'm not going to argue with you about the previous Thor movies, but I think Thor Ragnarok is going to be cool because it's like a buddy comedy
yeah, with him and
it's
Hulk.
It's basically doing Spartacus with Thor and Hulk on a planet where they're gladiators and have to fight, and then they end up going on an intergalactic road trip back to Asgard.
Yeah, I was about to say, it looks more and more like Guardian of the Galaxy, everything I'm seeing about that movie.
Well, I think they're going to go right into Infinity War with it. They're going to do all this stuff, and then it's going to be, yep, Infinity War time.
But you know what Beef just said, I think I like that. Yes, I think there is a new model, and of all the Marvel movies, and as I was bitching about Doctor Strange earlier, I think even looking at the trailer, Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't fit that mold.
No.
They were able to get into that goofy space crap that is really difficult to balance. Sure. If the Hulk movie with Thor actually has the same aesthetic and the same kind of humor.
Did you see what Jeff Goldblum looks like in the
dear God, yes, I did. Yep. I'm not sure.
I think it'll be cool.
I think, well, it's Jeff Goldblum.
I'm excited for it.
I saw Independence Day Insurgents or Resurgence. Anyway, I fell asleep on it 3 times. Thank God. He's bad in this. Oh, my God.
That wasn't that horrible. It wasn't good either, but it's a Saturday or Sunday popcorn bullcrap movie.
Yeah, I need to check that one out.
No, you don't. You really don't. No, seriously, you have much other crappy things you want to
watch. If you got 2 hours, it's on HBO right now all the time. If you got 2 hours, you can kill.
Oh, is it?
You're doing dishes or something, or you know, whatever. It's not a bad background. Yeah,
make sure you're doing something else.
HBO Go, huh? All
right. You might get sucked into it, but I wasn't horrible. It granted
Independence Day research.
Actually, you know what? I think it was on as I came down here to record the show. I think that's what I shut my TV off to.
Nice. Turn it off. What else you want to talk about? Okay, so let's hate on Marvel Television now. Iron Fist did not get a lot of
good.
I watched 2 episodes and that was it.
I haven't watched it yet either.
Okay, I'm gonna
for one episode, the first episode, the old episodes, big spoiler alert. He walks in some place, people ask him to get out, he doesn't want to. After them repeating 3 to 5 times that he want them to get out, he finally gets out and stalks them. And that's an hour of show.
Okay. Again, I'm going to be like me apparently tonight. It's not good, and it is pretty bad, but it's not horrible. It's just a Marvel show to me. And they have a lot to live up to with Daredevil and Luke Cage and Elektra, and hopefully Punisher is as good as those three. But this one is the least of the four, like completely. But it's...
Yeah.
To someone like me who knows nothing about the origin stories, I was like, oh, it's basically Tony Stark or Batman comes back to want their company.
The best argument that I've seen for it is you've got all of these superheroes and they're all fairly likable. Like Doctor Strange is kind of like the least, like he's not like a very likable person. Yeah, he's kind of a douche, right? Tony Stark to a degree is kind of a douche. And I like that they're like, well, we need to have a guy who's kind of a douche. So we'll have that be Iron Fist. And we'll just do the series where you don't really like the guy that much. And we're going to shoot it like, not like the cool frenetic action of Daredevil, but we're going to do like slow, subtle kind of kung fu stuff.
Everybody's whining about that too, though, and it's like I get that the fight scenes are clunky, but it's some random new person and their first year on the show. I don't expect him to be a ninja warrior.
Yeah, but honestly, look at the first season of Daredevil.
I know,
and
that stuff
was way.
The guy who did that did Spartacus.
Yeah.
So but what I'm gonna, I think he brought a little bit more to it than.
How much episodes do you guys have watched? Like I said, I watched four or five,
and I honestly was not hurt by it. I was excited to come home and watch a few more because I was also making chainmail, and it's an easy something in the background.
Yeah, okay. Because everybody told me everybody told me start at episode 6 and forget the rest.
Yeah, which is funny because all the reviews are based on the first 6 episodes.
Yeah.
So they're like, watch after episode 6. It's fine.
Yeah, so I'm kind of, anyway, honestly, right now there's much good TV.
We'll catch up. I can't say one way or the other, but
I'll probably end up catching up just before Defenders, because then I'm going to see the trailer for Defenders and I'm going to start
getting... it'll be there.
Yeah, excited.
Into the Badlands looks good. I kind of want to check that out.
I just added that to my queue. My buddy just started watching it, so it's really good.
When is Westworld coming back?
Like a year.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be a while.
It'll be a bit.
Okay, so it's a Battlestar Galactica thing now?
Yeah.
A year and a half? Ouch.
No, but they're not going to split it in two. It's just, you know, high production values and whatever.
Yeah, it costs a lot of money.
It's worth the wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Check out The Young Pope. I enjoyed that.
I've heard that's good, too. Kong Skull Island. Good. Has anybody seen Kong Skull Island?
No.
I had a choice to do that or Power Ranger. Guess which one I decide.
You're a nerd. I really hope to see Kong Skull Island. I've heard it's good. It's a little bit slow, but I hear the setup is sweet. And they were going to kill Spoiler alert. It opens with some World War II era-ish. And the other opening was going to be World War II era-ish, but a platoon of people end up on this island. And then a big ape comes out of the forest, and they shoot it and kill it. And everyone in the theaters would have been like, what the fuck? And then you would have heard another roar, and then the actual Kong. But they said the Kong that would have been killed would have been very reminiscent of the last two movies, like almost identical. But
Mighty Joe Young style comes on out.
But so did
Bryan Cranston die in the first 10 minutes?
Yeah, he did. He showed up. He sold the gorilla the meth, and then he said, "I'm the one who knocks." And
then he was trying to climb from between a stealth bomber and something else, and was blown out of an airlock.
Killed him.
Hey, and Power Ranger is a wall, and he's like, "I'm the one who knocks. He's like, I'm a wall.
I'm the lava lamp. Talk to me." Speaking of talking to animals, I know we talked about that with Professor X. You guys remember Dr. Doolittle?
Yeah, that's...
Yes, and I know where you're going with this. I read that news, and no.
You don't want to see Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doolittle in an upcoming film?
No.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Who else did it? Was Eddie Murphy?
Yes, it was Eddie Murphy. He did like three of them.
I remember the old movies. I used to watch those when I was a kid.
Yeah, in the 50s and 60s, they had a series of movies, I think.
Yeah, those are... Yeah.
Yeah, the last Dr. Doolittle, it was a woman. That was like the fourth in the Eddie Murphy series. But you know what? If we're talking about Dr. Doolittle, I think we need to go.
So we need to do our last word on Logan, or we have to say something. We have to wrap this up, right? How do we want to do this?
Stuff and junk. I'd say a little bit of last word on Logan. What do you guys got for a last word? Anything?
And last word, I'm going to go with snit.
I'm going to say bub.
Father of the year hyphenated?
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Father of the year, definitely.
This has been episode 318 of Legends Podcast. Logan, I'm Beef saying, I really liked seeing them fight together.
Mm-hmm. I'm Wing saying, little murder girl, little murder girl.
And I am John Lobster saying that in a game of rock, paper, scissors, my adamantium claws beats your iron fist.
Well, yes.
There were so many references in that one joke. I am still processing them all.
You can start laughing at the start of the next cast. That'd be great.
If you remind me, that'd be awesome.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com, where you'll find all our contact information as well as our other shows. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at Incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legends Stream Canada or GunnaGeek Networks. No infringement is intended, and no infringements are intended.